Well, if 2 years ago, approximately, Christy and I came to Sylvania, Ohio, a town that we really didn't know existed prior to hearing about McCord Road Christian Church. And we are really blessed and honored and delighted for the fact that we've been able to do this and be a part of this church family. We became part of this church family. Prior to us coming, Pastor Andy and Miss Jenny Wygan led this church for 34 years. They did it with honor, they did it with grace, they did it with respect. In fact, the level of respect that they have in this community and in this congregation is high enough that when Christy and I were here trying out and, you know, had preached for the first time, checking you guys out, and you guys were checking us out, and we were trying to figure out if we're going to do life together or not. The Sunday morning, I spoke in the services, and then that evening we had a meeting here where people in the congregation got to sit and ask me questions about what, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Everything was on the table. First question they asked was whether I was going to be a Buckeye or Wolverine fan. My answer was, which one's in the SEC? Thank you, Ohio State, however, for Joe Burrow. Thank you. Moving on. At the end of it, the person leading the meeting asked Pastor Andy, who was here, he said, would you like to say anything? And Pastor Andy came up, and I won't say everything that he said. Everything was very honoring, and it was a blessing to me. Words that I will never forget. But one thing he said was, I would be proud for Micah to become the next pastor of this church. And that was humbling, that was honoring. And I got in the car and I told Christy, I said, we need to make a decision. She said, what do you mean? I said, we need to make a decision if we want to come here or not, because I think we're going to be given the opportunity to come here and be the pastor of this church. And she said, well, how do you know? How do you know if they like you or not? I said, I don't know. But I know how much they respect and honor Pastor Andy. And this is what Pastor Andy just said. And sure enough, just a few days later, we received a phone call from Pastor Benton saying, hey, we want to move forward, and here's the next steps. I thank God for a man like Pastor Andy that I have the privilege of getting to know and building relationship with. I thank God for a man of God who leads with honor and integrity. I thank God for a man who I'm able to follow in ministry. And not only follow in ministry, but have the kind of relationship that I can say a few months ago, Pastor Andy, would you deliver the word of God to us in the sermon on this particular date? And I'm thankful that he said yes. And Pastor Andy, I invite you to come and deliver the word of God to us today.
Thank you. It's all Micah needed to say was, he's the old guy that used to do this, but thank you. I am the old guy. I had my 50th high school class reunion back in October, and I wasn't able to go because my grandson asked me to baptize him the same weekend, but they sent me a picture of these guys in my class, and I saw it, and I went, ran into the kitchen. I said, Jenny, these guys are really old. So time does fly. But Micah, it is an honor to be able to do this today, and thank you. I love this congregation, and I am very grateful for the way that you've been leading, and I'm thrilled that the congregation continues to thrive, and I'm thrilled that I'm not still in charge. So... I do pray for you regularly, almost every day, and because I know a lot of what's involved in what you do, and you should as well. But thank you. As I look out, this feels strangely familiar to me. I'm a little rusty, but so retirement. People ask me, how's retirement? And I'm a little slow responding sometimes, and they usually fill in the blank, and they say, well, you're probably busy, right? I say, well, you know, I'm actually trying not to be busy, and it has become a little troublesome that is everyone's response. Because in our culture, it seems, That's the gauge for which we judge whether or not our lives are successful. If you're busy, you're good. If you're not busy, something must be wrong. John Ortberg was interviewing Dallas Willard once. And Dallas Willard was considered to be one of the leaders in the spiritual formation movement, discipleship movement. He's died in the last year or two. But he was asked by John, what is the one thing I need to do to go deeper in my relationship with Jesus? And Dallas Willard responded, eliminate all hurry from your life. It is to our detriment that pathological busyness has become the merit badge of honor in our society. You know, to appreciate Jesus takes time. To appreciate wonder, the theme of this series, takes time. And time is the one thing that hurried people don't have.
So good.
So it's not about the speed with which you live. It's about the significance that your life has. It's not the amount of activity. It's, are you effective? I wrote a job description for myself about a year ago, and I'm trying to stick to it. And I do not want to be busy. I want to be intentional with my time. And because I'm not busy, there have been all kinds of wonders that have arisen in the course of my life. So there's a commercial that was out quite a few years ago by Mercedes-Benz, and it shows a car slamming into a concrete barrier. And a representative from the company is being interviewed, and he's asked, why is it Mercedes-Benz enforcing its unique, patented, energy-absorbing body design, which other companies were copying? And the representative says, because some things are too important not to be shared. Some things are too important in life not to be shared. And wonder is one of those things in our lives that is too important not to be shared. When we share our experience of wonder, we increase our joy. When we share our experience of wonder, we refresh other people. We inspire them. When we share our experience of wonder, there is a bond that's created in our relationships that wouldn't be there otherwise. The seeds of a deeper friendship and of a more meaningful community of people. And so Mike asked me to share from John chapter 4. I think this is a perfect illustration of a woman who had a wonderful encounter with Jesus and was so excited that she shared it with other people, and her community was transformed. So let me just tell you the story. It's a long chapter, and I'm just going to paraphrase it. But Jesus was on his way with his disciples from Jerusalem up to Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria, a city called Sychar, and his disciples were with him, and they left Jesus by the well. And the disciples went into town to get lunch. Maybe they went to Chipotle or something. We're going to bring back burritos. I don't know. But Jesus was hot, tired, and thirsty. And a woman comes to the well at an odd time of the day. It's noon. But Jesus asks her for a drink, and she says, what's up with that? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, you're a man, I'm a woman. That's not customary for us to be talking. And Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink of living water. And she said, sir, you don't even have a bucket. And Jesus said, I'm not talking about H2O. I'm talking about living water. And if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. And the woman says, well, I'll take some. And Jesus said, well, go call your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, yeah, I know. You have had 5 husbands, and the man that you're now living with is not your husband. Well, the woman is taken aback. She decides to change the subject. This is getting a little too personal. So she says, well, you Jews worship in Jerusalem and we worship over here. And which is right? She says, I guess when the Messiah comes, he'll explain everything. And Jesus drops the bomb and he says, the one you are speaking with, am he. Well, at that moment, the disciples return. A woman drops her jar, runs excitedly into the town, and says to the townspeople, come and see, come and see. A man who told me everything about my life, and he's a stranger. Could this be the Messiah? The townspeople began to assemble and gather around Jesus, and John tells us Jesus stayed in the city two days, and many came to believe that he was indeed the Savior of the world. And so one woman's experience of wonder went viral. And that's the way we were designed by God to be. My first point here is that wonder is contagious. Wonder is contagious. When we experience something that's exciting, that's out of the ordinary, that's extraordinary, that's wonderful, that's amazing, we love to call the attention of other people to it. It's just the way we're wired. I was in a sports bar this fall, late in October, with two of my brothers down in Naples. We were having a brother's weekend, and we were watching the Steelers game on Sunday afternoon. And we're Steelers fans because we are from Pittsburgh, and they're not having a very memorable year this year. But they were playing the Colts, and the Steelers were ahead by two. There was a minute, 14 seconds left in the game, and the Colts were on the Steeler territory, and they had a 43-yard field goal to kick, and it would have put them 1 point ahead of the Steelers and probably clinched the game. So Adam Vinatieri kicks the ball. Everyone's holding their breath. He hooks it to the left. It doesn't go through. The Colts don't score. The Steelers win. And our arms are up like this. And we're shouting. And I'm turning to my brother instantaneously. And his arms are up the same. And we give each other high fives. I didn't have to think about doing that. It was just an instinctive response to something that was amazing. Something that, as trivial as it was wonderful to us in the moment. Wonder is contagious. A couple of years ago, my wife and I had the opportunity to go to the Grand Canyon. And it is amazing. A wonderful experience. Well, when my son and a couple of my kids asked, well, we would like to go on vacation with you without the grandchildren. And we want to go somewhere besides the beach, because we always go to the beach. So, well, let's go to the Grand Canyon. Come and see the Grand Canyon. You've got to see this if you haven't seen it. And so we went. And there are a couple of their faces. And then a little group shot. But what a joy it was for me to be able to share a little part of the wonder that I had experienced in my own life. How painful it is when we cannot share it. I was awake one night late. This is back in the 80s or something like that. And I was fishing around for some better humor for my sermons or something. I was listening to Johnny Carson's monologue on TV. And he had a great joke. I don't remember what it was. But unfortunately, my wife had gone to bed and she was asleep. And it was painful. I almost went and woke her up. But that would have been more painful. So I didn't. But I thought, you know, wonder is diminished, isn't it? When we have no one to share it with. The act of sharing our experiences of wonder and amazement completes our joy. I love the little passage in 1 John, John's first letter, chapter 1. He talks about the Word of God, Jesus, and we've touched Him, we've seen him, we've heard him, we've experienced him, and now we write these things to you that our joy might be complete. Isn't that interesting? Because I would have written, these things I write to you that your joy might be complete.
That's good.
But I think there's an insight here. John meant what he said. Sharing our experiences of wonder and completes our joy. We love to call people's attention to the things that amaze us. And the other thing that makes this a potentially catalytic moment is that other people are anxious to hear. We live in a world that where most people have FOMO. You know what FOMO is? I didn't know what it is. I used to travel with my daughter Emily quite a bit. Still love to take trips with her. And she said, "Dad, you have FOMO." As I always say, let's just go up another block. Let's look around the corner. Let's go to the other side of the mountain. There's a castle over here. Let's go see what the castle's like. You know. And she said, "Dad, you..." I said, "What's FOMO?" "Fear of missing out." I just don't want to miss. I'm like the bear that went to the other side of the mountain, see what he could see. That's FOMO. And our world is hungry to experience things that are out of the ordinary. They don't want to miss out. Things that remind us that we might not be alone in this universe. That there could be something bigger than us. That maybe God is at work in some unexpected, surprising, amazing ways, and I want to hear about it. This woman was not the most popular woman in the town of Sychar, I can tell you that. That's why she came to the well at noon. But she didn't have any trouble convincing these townspeople to follow her and meet Jesus. Because they had FOMO too. We all do. I remember going to a service, this is about a year or so ago. There was a little line in the paper that said that Father Richard McAleer, Catholic priest, was going to host a prayer meeting for healing at the historic church of St. Patrick downtown. I didn't know who Father McAleer was or where that church was, but I'm passionate about a healing ministry. I wanted to go see what was happening. I expected there to be a few people there. I don't know how many people historic Church of St. Patrick seats. I don't know. Maybe it's 1,000. But that church was full. I was shocked. And by full, I don't mean 80% full. I mean standing room only full. And I thought to myself, wow. Even in a faith community that's outside of my own tradition, people are hungry to experience the reality and the power of God in their lives. Wonder is contagious because we love to talk about it and people love to hear about it. And our lives are full of wonder. Your life is full of wonder, I guarantee it. What stories do you have to share? What things that have happened to you are you anxious to say to others, "Come and see, come and see"? Let me tell you. If you're thinking, "I don't have that kind of story, I don't have that kind of wonder in my life," I want to push back a little bit and say, I doubt that's true. If you think it's so, it's because you're living too fast and you haven't noticed, or you've forgotten, or you underestimate the power of your story.
That's good.
And I've been a pastor for 40 years. I did a rough calculation of how much time I probably spent listening to people tell their stories. It's tens of thousands of hours. And 34 years here. So I know some of you, and I'm not going to name names, but I have heard your stories too. Now, some of them are very sad and very tragic and very heartbreaking. But there are a lot that are amazing.
Yes, sir.
Right here. I remember doing a Bible study years and years ago. It was about 7 or 8 people in the group. We were going to study Philippians that night, and I had a little icebreaker question. I don't know why I asked it, but I said, how many people in the group have ever had an encounter with an angel? An angel, you know, like a heavenly angel. I didn't expect any answer. I never have. The only angel in my life is my wife. So she said, don't use me as a sermon illustration. So that's as far as I can go. She also said, don't wear the red pants today. That'd be too much. But I just do what I'm told. Here's the shocking thing. In that Bible study, with 7 or 8 people, we never got to Philippians. Every single person had a story. I was thunderstruck. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb today with you. And I'm going to ask, how many of you think you've had an encounter of some kind or an experience of some kind with an angel? Wow. You know, I wish I had an opportunity to hear your stories. And I know the rest of us would too. But this is a wonderful congregation. I'm going to stay out on a limb for a minute here. How many of you think you have experienced a supernatural physical healing in your life? Quite a few hands. How many of you have experienced a significant answer to prayer? How many of you feel like God may have spoken to you in some specific way through a dream or a vision? Wow. This is a wonderful congregation. Our lives are filled with wonder. How many of you have experienced some kind of extraordinary love from your life group or from this church? How many of you have had coincidences in your life? A coincidence is just a miracle for which God decides to remain anonymous. You know, that are unexplained. If it wasn't for God. How many of us have been freed from addictions, from fear, from anxiety, from an unforgiving spirit because of Jesus, because of the prayer of another person who laid hands on you and said, be free? You have a story to tell. Never underestimate the power of your story. Our lives are filled with wonder. Let me tell you just a couple of my stories. I remember the year that I took off from coming to McCord after I retired. I was on a feeding frenzy visiting other churches. Sometimes I'd go to 2 or 3 services on a weekend. My record was 4 services in a weekend. But I was just curious. This is my FOMO working itself out, you know. I just wanted to make sure something wasn't happening over here that I didn't know about. And I was excited. There was a lot of cool stuff that happened. But I went to this one church, Lion of Judah, and they asked for people to come up for prayer at the end of the service. And there were a couple ladies up there. And I came up. I was having a muscle problem in my leg. And so I asked them to pray for my leg. And so they prayed. Really nice ladies. And then the next thing the lady did was, one of the ladies was look up. And she said, you know, sir, I don't know you, but as I was praying, I just had a distinct impression that you're beginning a new chapter in your life. And that God is going to put before you opportunities. And you shouldn't be afraid to take them. Obviously, that made a big impression on me. Like the woman at the well, this lady was reading my mail. And you know, I'm not going to ever forget that. I've been praying through these last couple years of my retirement that into the prayer of Paul in Ephesians 3, where he writes, you know, I pray that you might comprehend with all the saints what is the height and what is the depth and what is the length and the breadth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, in order that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And that's my prayer. I want to know the love of God. I want to understand the love of God. I want to experience the love of God. And I was working on one morning on this podcast I'm trying to get started, and I was working on one talk, and I thought, I need to know how should I describe what Jesus did at the cross, because that was part of the passage I was going to talk about. And I struggled with, you know, there are different ways of approaching the cross and theories of the atonement and lots of metaphors that are used in the New Testament. And I just wasn't happy with the illustrations or stories that I was coming up with. And I had a lunch meeting, so in some frustration, I left, got in my car, and was headed east on Sylvania Avenue. I'll never forget that moment. I don't think it lasted more than 30 seconds. And I don't know what to call it. A vision, a trance. I don't know how I kept the car on the road, but at that moment, during that period, I felt like I was somewhere else. All I could see was liquid, golden light. It was like I was submerged, but I could breathe. I was floating. There was no ceiling, there was no surface, there was no floor, there were no sides. The feeling I had was euphoric. I began to weep for joy. And I sensed that somehow I was in the heart of God. And a word just flashed in my eyes in the midst of this substance, whatever it was. Mercy. Mercy. I still can't explain the atonement or the cross. But I know that the heart of the Father has a heart of mercy for me. And I never felt such assurance, such release from guilt and doubt, such comfort. I said in the past that if you knew everything about me that God knows, you wouldn't want me to be your pastor. And if I knew everything about you that God knows, I wouldn't want you to be in the congregation. So we're even. But all I can say is, whatever sin is in your life, whatever guilt you may be struggling with, however dark the stain, however deep the memory or the wound may go, there's an ocean of mercy for you in the heart of God, our Father. Oh, the depths and heights, length and the breadth of the love of God. And the greatest, it is the greatest wonder. It is the greatest wonder in the universe. One more quick story is, and why I'm wearing this vest, I have to share it, is because this is from a gift from Nagaland, where I traveled earlier this year. And I think of Nagaland as Wonderland. And the reason I say that is this. In India, Nagaland is a state in India, the far northeast corner of India. The people live up in that area look more like Chinese or Asians, and they do look like Indians. But there are 30-plus states in India, and the percentage of Christians in each of the states of India is in the low single digits. Everywhere. Except Nagaland, where the last number I could find, I didn't take a whole lot of time to look it up, it was 1996, I think. In Nagaland, you have to register as an Indian citizen what's your religion. And in Nagaland, 86.6% of the people in Nagaland register as Christians. Well, how did that happen? And it's a long story, but there were three decades where the Spirit of God moved powerfully and sovereignly to bring a headhunter culture to Jesus Christ. Here are some stories. This was after all the missionaries had been kicked out. There were only a handful of Christians that had been converted to Christ through the American Baptist missionaries that were there. But here's what some of the things that God just did. Many miracles of healing were witnessed. Blind eyes were opened, deaf ears were healed, crippled bodies were restored, and even the dead were raised. In one village, a woman was dead for about 4 hours. Her loved ones and neighbors were crying and weeping for her. A man went and prayed for her at midnight, and she came back to life. While the believers were gathered together praying, the church was lifted up from the ground about 2 or 3 feet. The unbelievers saw this miracle, and many repented from their sins. This is the kind of story that gets repeated again and again and again as you read the records of what happened in Nagaland. I was given this vest upon arrival at the airport by this greeting committee. I felt like a celebrity. And the guy on the right has a ministry in Nagaland now, where it's called School Destiny, Potter's House, and they're hoping to send 200 workers out into neighboring countries and states. But the vest has various symbols on it, and I asked them what these symbols represented. I don't remember what all of them represent now, but I remember what the heads represent up here, because they told me that this represented the headhunter culture, which was part of their heritage. And then as I got to meet them and hear their stories, it was like, yeah, my grandfather was a headhunter. My grandfather was a headhunter. My grandfather was a headhunter. How do you go from that to a largely, at least nominally, Christian society today, if you can't explain it by the wonderful, powerful work of the Spirit of God? We live in a world full of wonder. Your lives are full of wonder. You have stories that are so important, they need to be shared. So my challenge to you is to let your life speak. Let your life speak. And the assignment that I'd like to give you for the week ahead, if you're willing to take it, is to get with one other person, a family member, a friend, and ask someone to share something that amazes them about their relationship with God or their life experience. And listen patiently. Then ask them to do the same thing for you. The hardest part of this is going to be to listen patiently. We're not very good at listening. I was eating a sandwich in Jimmy John's one day, and I noticed the plaque on the wall. It was something from Dave Barry. I've always liked Dave Barry, so I read 50 things I learned by the time I turned 50. And one of the things was, it kind of convicted me, was he said, why is it that religious people always want to share their point of view, but they never want to hear yours? One of my prayers for our church culture is that we would become listeners. In our skeptical world today, In my opinion, that's the first step toward being an effective witness. But learning to listen to each other. I heard stories just this past week that I could recount to you in the grocery store, in the church, and other places where if I had been in a hurry, I never would have heard them. But because I took the time and showed the interest, a few people opened up about some amazing things that were happening in their life. If you take up this challenge, three things will happen. One is when you share your story, you're going to have greater joy. Second, the person that's hearing you or listening is going to be refreshed, inspired, challenged, encouraged. And third, your relationship with them will deepen and become more meaningful. Micah asked me to preach, and he said the theme is Welcome to Wonderland, and I asked him if I needed to dress up like Alice. And he said, he didn't answer the question, really. So. But you don't have to dress up like Alice to get to Wonderland. All you have to do is slow down. Observe. Listen. And share your story. Some things are too important not to be shared. So let your life speak. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we've had to share together. And for the wonder, Lord, of this life and this world in which you've called us to live. Open our eyes and our hearts and help our amazement to grow, especially our amazement at the wonder of your love and of your mercy. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.